right, so this morning I want to introduce Landon. So Landon is going to speak this morning. He is our summer youth intern, and it has just been a tremendous opportunity to work with him this summer as I've watched him make connections with kids and with adults, and just his energy just goes on and on and on. And so it has been such a blessing to see him just grow in the Lord and his willingness to serve in whatever it is that I ask him to do. And so as a result of all of that, we decided to hire him. So we did do due process. We did interview, like we did have references, and we had conversations with other people. We talked to the kids. We talked to kids' parents. So we didn't just hire him. We have welcomed him to join our team to help other people connect with Jesus and grow in their faith. And I'm excited about that. And when I said to him, you know, what excites you about being a part of our church family, he said, the potential of what I see. So I'm just so excited that Landon is joining our team. I'm going to ask Steve, our board chair, to come and pray for Landon. And
I'm on.
You are on.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Landon and the way you've worked in his life, and for blessing us with him. And we've seen that, as Jen mentioned, over the summer. Thank you for the desire that you put in his heart for this church, for the youth and young adults, and his faithfulness to take this on. So, dear God, we corporately pray and ask that you bless him with wisdom, discernment, courage, strength, boldness, and joy and excitement, even more joy and excitement, as he takes this on, and help us to surround him with love and support, dear God, as he works in this ministry, and to support this ministry as well. So thank you so much, dear God, for your faithfulness and your love. We love you. We thank you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You're on.
Okay, yeah, let's figure out this mic situation. Okay, I'm going to talk about a lot this morning, but I want to start with just thanking you guys for this experience this summer. I'm pretty jittery and sweaty. Thought I was going to throw up a couple seconds ago, but we're moving forward, okay? Just thanks so much for all the prayer and support, especially going through shingles and just, like, trusting me with your kids and constantly praying and encouraging me. I wouldn't be here without it. Yeah, thanks, guys. So this morning I would like to talk about Paul's illustration of the runner. So first slide. Yeah. This verse has just been sticking to me the last week. It really encompasses a lot of the stuff we've been talking about with the youth and young adults, and this whole idea of just growing into a person that God can really use. And so it's funny, I didn't run into this verse all summer, and then it landed in my lap, and it kind of ties everything together. So I'm going to share it with you guys this morning. Yeah, and so we're just going to read it to start, and then we'll break it down, and I've got four big concepts I want to flesh out with you guys, and then we'll tie it all together, okay? So it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I will not be disqualified from the prize." So this is an illustration Paul is giving to the Corinthians after he's talking about him being a disciple. Yeah? Cool. Next slide. So I've come up with four P words. They're themes that are shared throughout this illustration, and I want you to take notes, okay? If you've got a phone, if you've got something to, please take notes. There's a lot going on, okay? So first one is passion. The second one is process. The third one is pruning. And then the fourth one is purpose, okay? So we're going to go through them in that order, but keep in mind the purpose, because nothing is going to matter with a purpose. You got to focus in on that, okay? Got it? Everyone's on the same page? Same page? Good. Okay. So let's start with the first verse. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way to get the prize." So we're going to focus in on that last bit there, run in such a way as to get the prize. What does that look like? What do you think of? Olympic athlete, front of the race. How are they there? Why are they there? What attributes do they have? Next slide. Yeah. What is one of the defining traits of someone running to get the prize? Okay, think in your heads. Stir it around a little bit. Yeah? Okay, these are some I came up with. So resolve, strength, commitment, focus, passion. So if you see the little silhouettes there, that's actually, that's me and Tate at Moore's house. Okay, so I got a little illustration here for you guys. So we had a barbecue after baseball. It's very nice. All the young adults are hanging out. We went to the basement, found this ping pong table, and me and Tate started playing. And here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. I'm better at ping pong than Tate is, okay? Yeah. On a technical level, yeah, okay, you get it? But Tate beat me every single time. Because Tate is passionate about winning, okay? Especially against good competition, So that's my point. Passion. That's what stuck out to me here. It's something that sets you apart. It's defined as a strong, barely controllable emotion. Yeah? So, cool. Next slide. So what are you passionate about? Think about what you can talk about forever, or what you have a huge capacity for in your life, or just what you consistently want to strive after. Like, what is it that just gets you going? Yeah? Next slide. So that's passion. Locked it down. First piece, okay? Second piece. So it says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." So, strict training. What does strict training look like? Can someone get me water if anyone wants to run? Grab me water. Awesome. Thanks, David. So training is a process, right? So it's a series of things you do to reach an end goal. And so I have a little, this is what came to mind when I thought of strict training. It's the best. So in like, when I was 18, I started painting. I was completely artistically illiterate. Stickman was the furthest I did. So one day I saw a YouTube video and I was just like, I want to learn how to do that. It's like speed art. So spray cans, textures, whatever. You do it in like 5 to 10 minutes and then you've got this finished product that looks like you spent a lot of time on it. So it's really satisfying. So basically this is like one of the first pieces I did. You basically just spray colors and then you smear them and then you put a stencil over it and then you just add layers on top of that and it creates dimension and form and a picture, okay? And that, so after a while, I continued and continued until it developed into something that was actually, thanks, David, into like an actual product. And so once I pursued the process, I started to actually understand the artistic elements behind the process, and I was no longer just mimicking what I was doing. I was actually understanding and creating. And then it's grown into graphic design. So this is all digital now, and I consider myself passionate about it. So the process led to passion. Yeah? Okay, second piece, process. Okay? So training is a process. Process is a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. Okay? So that's two parts down. So what in your lives have you learned or completed a process for, right? A process can be something that's like 2 minutes or can be something that's like 2 decades. So you all learn how to brush your teeth, right? That's a 2-minute process. The purpose is to keep your teeth clean, right? Education takes a lot of people 2 decades so that you can be an adult and get a job. equip yourself. Right? Nice. Nice. Cool. Process. Wrapped up. Done. You understand what it is. Closely associated with discipline. Okay? Next. So these are the last two verses. It says, therefore, I do not run like someone aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. And so, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. That's a little intense, Paul, but we'll get to what he means. Next slide. So it says, so this is the P word I've come up for this, and it's pruning, right? So to prune is to trim unwanted parts off of something. So when it comes to trees, it's like a management of energy and direction and growth. So you're trimming off things that maybe aren't producing as much to let that energy that was used on them be put into more productive areas. Make sense? Yeah. So I have a story for you guys. If you've been a part of Youth or Young Adults, I have talked about my mushrooms before, okay? So I'm going to share the mushroom story again because it fits perfectly here, okay? So there's this farmer, and he has this tree, and all these big mushrooms grow off this tree, and so he sells them, and his friends come, and everyone loves his mushrooms. Everyone loves his mushrooms. You see them? See, I drew this in, like, whatever, yeah? So everyone loves his mushrooms. And then one day, a botanist comes by and sees the tree, sees the mushrooms, and he's like, don't you know that those mushrooms are a parasite? They're plague to your tree. They're sucking the life out of it. Your tree could be something beautiful, but it's not because you have the mushrooms. Even though people like the mushrooms are holding the tree back. And so the botanist tells him how to get rid of the mushrooms and identifies the issue. And so the man gets rid of the mushrooms, fixes his tree, makes it healthy, and now it produces fruit. Yeah? So the mushrooms stole all the nutrients, so the tree was basically dead. Remove the mushrooms, now the tree produces fruit. Got it? So pruning. Yeah? Three. So what three do we have? We have passion, process, pruning. Wow, I love that engagement. Awesome. So the question I have for you guys is, what are your mushrooms? I want you to really think about that, okay? What is it in your life that takes away and keeps you from producing fruit? So what do you need to prune in order to create an effective process to grow in your passions? Does that make sense with the vocabulary we've just learned? Yeah? Okay, cool. For me personally, last couple of years, my mushrooms have been social media and video games, and I've just chopped them. They were something that I identified in my life as stealing life, so no more. No more. Next question. So this is the final. Okay, this isn't quite the final P. It is the final P. Yeah, it is. So it says, there has to be purpose behind passion, and why commit to a process if there's no purpose, right? Or why prune? Like, that sounds like a lot of sacrifice, a lot of energy. So why do we do it? Why are we even talking about this? Why are you guys in church? Why am I sharing? So let's go back and read the verse and identify, see if we can find that purpose, okay? So it says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that when I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. So, what is the prize? Right? Just talking about this prize, references in almost every verse of the passage. So what is the prize? So, right before this, Paul says, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. So, if Jesus is the prize, are you passionate about him? Do you have processes that you pursue in your life to grow in that passion? And are there things that you need to prune in your life in order to pursue him and complete those processes and grow in your passions? So just sit on that. Yeah? Think about that. What does that look like for you? So if the prize is Jesus and the gospel and everything that he did for us, do you know what the gospel is? Like, when you think of the gospel, can you articulate that? Does that have any meaning to you? Does it have purpose to you? Is it something that affects the way you live in your daily life? And if you don't know what it is, I could tell you. And what it means and how it speaks to me and the way I live my life. So the gospel is God sending his son to pay for our sins and to defeat sin and death. And there's this huge, beautiful story surrounding that. And in my personal life, as you guys know, I really care about people. Shared about that in my testimony at the start of my internship. And so I just see so many broken and lost people. And if I didn't have a God that loved them and created them and came and died for them so that he could spend eternity with them, I would be so just crushed all the time. Because people are everything, right? Our souls last forever. And it's so important to pursue Jesus, because that's the only way. And so in my personal life, I mentioned that I really committed to my life with Christ when I was about 18. I was working at a camp in Alberta, and just laying in my bed one night, and I was like, God, I just give you my life. Make it whatever you want. Be as painful as needed, just as long as it completes your purposes. And before I made that commitment, I was a very egocentric, selfish kid. Struggled with lying a ton and stealing. And after I just gave that all over to God, my life just like really started to radically change. I met this beautiful woman who I'm still with to this day, who just happens to be a human lie detector. So like, uh-oh. yeah. And then shortly after that, I got caught stealing for the first time and was arrested but not convicted or charged. And God had so much grace through that situation. I was banned from the place for 2 years and had to go through this parole process, but I called my parole officer and just like poured out my heart and like what was going on in my life at that time. And she was like, "Wow, I wish you told me this sooner. We could have fought the civil lawsuits and got all this stuff off you. You're totally free to go. You don't need to do anything. Like, you're off the hook, essentially." And it was just like such a relief. But that was something I had hanging over my head for like 6 months. I was working at Muskoka Woods and was just like, I was just sweating over it and just giving it to God. There's so much that he's done to transform me as a person since I've made that commitment from the inside out, right? And that's why I can stand here today and be doing what I'm doing, because it's not by my power, right? It's by his, right? So we've learned about these four P's. Throughout this sermon, I've gotten you guys to think about these words in context of your life and how you currently function in these, in a worldly sense, right? And so now I just want you to take all these ideas and plug them in to your faith. Plug them into the gospel. What does it look like to be passionate about Jesus, right? What does that look like? What does it look like to actually be changed and affected by what you read in the Bible and what do processes look like that are going to feed into your faith, right? Do you spend time with God every day? Do you submit your wants and your heart and the things that you just need to control, or do you submit those? Do you have things in place to actually grow and become a useful tool for Christ? And pruning, what is just useless that you pursue, or what is taking away from you that is you invest so much time into that is actually robbing from you producing fruit in your life, right? Just think of those things. And then purpose. If you don't know what that purpose is, or if you don't know, if you don't feel it, like if you kind of have an idea, but it's not something that you've really identified, stuck to, or convicted by in your life, if it's not one of those things, we have lots of communities here, and they all have different purposes. So if you're looking to know, to understand what that all looks like the purpose part, if you see here, it says knowing, growing, and serving. So if you're looking to know your purpose, we've got Alpha. You can jump on a connected sheet. If you're in youth or young adults, we'll be running those starting soon. If you are looking to build processes, or are you someone that knows of good processes or likes teaching processes, there's lots of groups for that. If you're someone that likes serving, cleaning, you're passionate about anything, there's lots of areas in the church that could use you and your passion. So fill out a connection card. Come talk to me, Jen, Lisa Bickle, Rob Webb. If you guys just want to raise your hands so people know who you are, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, get connected. And so I just want to leave you on one last question, and the band's going to play, and I just want to open the floor for you guys to come up to the prayer rails and just, are you running after the only prize that is everlasting? Is that something that shapes your life, right? And if not, what is it that's holding you back, or what are those things that are taking that place of the prize? What is the illusion that you are being tricked by? So I'm just going to close in prayer, and then the band's going to play. Dear God, I just thank you for this church family, and I thank you for all the things you've done in me and in them this summer. I just pray that you really take these words and have people hear them in ways that impact them individually, God. I just pray that everyone goes home today with understanding or direction or a prompting for the next step or the next thing they need to change or grow in, God. I just thank you for, I thank you for everything. I thank you for giving me the strength to get up and do this today. Yeah, thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.